And a good morning to you. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. With these challenging times upon us, Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. All right, it's going to be a little bit of a different show than you're hearing on CBS Sports Radio right now during the pandemic. I've told Anthony, let's take everything off the rundown if we're going to talk about Knick games from 25 years ago. We decided in the show today, do you want to talk about what's going on in 2020? Or would you like to do nostalgia? Let's do play-by-play of Knick games from 25 years ago. Anthony, we're taking the Knick content out. Because the all the other states in the country that have CBS Sports Radio are saying, what the blank is everybody talking about the Knicks for? The Knicks haven't been relevant in a generation. So we've taken that out. We're also going to take out your memories of baseball games from 25 years ago. Like your favorite playoff game from 25 years ago, whether Joe Torre made the right decision pinch running somebody in the seventh inning of a game three of a divisional series. Anthony, we're taking that content out. Just so you know, it's out. It's out. We're not going to do it today. I'm going to decide. This is going to be strange. It's going to be a strange show because today we're going to talk about like what's going on now in sports. We're going to talk about like there's a belief because believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, but it takes like it's a little bit of like elbow grease to be able to realize that there's tons of topics in sports going on right now that we can talk about. And by the way, it doesn't have to be in the gloom and doom category. I was starting out the show today thinking of how America and the sports scene in general has handled this pandemic story. And obviously, at Tony Pierno on Twitter, our producer, Anthony Pierno, Anthony walks the streets of New York every day. Now, he's not a street walker. But if we don't get this economy up and running soon, he's actually considering it.
I have no choice.
You may have to consider it. I may have to supplement your income that way because you could starve. I'm just saying. But there is a what Anthony's experience, and I ask him every week at the beginning of the show, Anthony's in Manhattan. How are you doing, Anthony? Like, how are you personally doing and how are the streets doing? How are your community doing? How's it going?
I'm personally fine. I personally have no worries about it. Yesterday it was approaching 70 degrees here in New York City. So
it's a beautiful
yeah.
Spring.
So I know I realized as soon as I walked out of this building a little after noon yesterday for my shift, there were a lot of people
out and about.
Around. Yeah.
Right. Out and about, walking around in the fresh air, right?
Enjoying the weather, yes.
Was everybody crowded together? Was it spaced out? What were you thinking?
No, for the most part, everyone was spread out, yeah.
Okay. Well, because that's interesting, because I'm in Atlanta, and we're always socially distanced. And like yesterday, the Blue Angels did their flyover in Atlanta, and they literally went over our neighborhood. Like, after they had done their one loop, and they were coming through, heading to downtown Atlanta, they went directly over top of our neighborhood. It was breathtaking. It was absolutely awesome. Those guys, it's crazy. And ladies, crazy. But I was thinking of one of my favorite college professors this week, and it really hit me in regards to the pandemic and how Anthony has experienced the pandemic and how I experienced the pandemic in Atlanta. Because I had a professor named Dr. Gordon Gray, and Gordon Gray was absolutely an amazing professor. One of my most just most memorable professors that I ever had. And the very last semester that you were at Temple University, you would have Dr. Gordon Gray, you would have a class with him. And this was like your undergraduate sort of master's level class. And Gordon Gray, his whole thing was in this class and in the very beginning of the class, the first class of the semester, and it would usually be either your final semester or the second to the last semester you were at Temple University studying media. And he had a lecture that set up the entire semester. And everybody said it was the same lecture every single semester. But everybody was really anxious to hear this lecture because it was sort of famous. And he'd change up little parts of it here and there. But his whole message was this. When you go out into the world and you join the media, whether it's news media, sports media, otherwise, your job is to tell the story and bring the listener or the reader or the viewer to Main Street. And it was his whole little spiel about Main Street. And he said, wherever that Main Street is, if the Main Street is in Nebraska, or if the Main Street is in Atlanta, or if the Main Street is in New York or Chicago, your job is to be the eyes, ears, everything for the person that's not there, so they experience it through your eyes. But he would tell you that when a story is attacking the entire country, like this pandemic story is, he would say, you're bringing people to the Main Street where you're covering the story. But remember, each person is consuming that same story differently on their Main Street. And that's where the balance must occur in the media's message. Well, at some point that was lost. It was lost in the news media. It was lost in the sports media. It was lost in everything. Because what happens? Anthony Piano walks out of the studios today. He's in Manhattan. By the way, one of my favorite places to walk in the world. If I had a handful of places that you could transport me to spend a day, Manhattan is one of them. I love it. Love the heartbeat of the city. Love the community. Love the restaurants. I love it. Just love it. I love the stimulation of being in Manhattan. But when Anthony walks out of work today, he's in Manhattan. When I walk out of work today, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. We're experiencing the pandemic differently. But for many of us, and we're talking about where the NFL offices, New York City. Where the NBA offices, New York City. Where does Gary Bettman have an American office? New York City. So when the sports leaders step out of work, they're knee deep in the heart of the pandemic. When the vast, vast, vast majority of their consumers and their public experience the pandemic, they're experiencing it far differently. I live in Georgia. We're now 10 days into our reopening in Georgia. 10 days ago, or 11 or 12 days ago, when it was announced that Georgia was reopening, the national media and the national sports media. Oh, my gosh, it's so early. What are they doing? Oh, my gosh. I'll quote it because it was on the screen. You know where they put stuff on the bottom of the screen? Bodies in the streets. There will be bodies in the streets in Atlanta. This is crazy. What are they doing? It's nuts. I'm here to report that there are not bodies in the streets in Atlanta. And in fact, we're trending very well. Things are trending very well. Despite all the coverage from the heart of the pandemic on a main street that is 900 miles south. And this applies to every single sports league. There are 40 states, 40 of them, out of the 50, that are, it's almost when the story of the pandemic is written, around 40 states, it was almost negligible how bad it touched certain states. And then there were states that were devastated. New York, New Jersey, parts of Pennsylvania. There are major cities that had problems. New Orleans had problems. We had some problems in Atlanta. pockets. We had a section of rural Georgia where a community was struck. Like a small area community was struck by it, devastated by it. But the vast majority of the consumers of the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and the other sports too, I'm not trying to forget them. But the vast majority of those areas, they're not experiencing this story the same way. And so when the story is reported from that main street, gloom and doom and negativity and how are we ever going to get back to it? And my new favorite, the new normal. It's not the new normal, folks. The new normal is not going to be that, because you see, new normal means going forward. What we're doing now, we're going to be doing forever. That's normal. That will be our new normal. And again, that's not going to be our lives. The new normal, if we revisit this story in 2022, 2024, 2026, Americans are not all going to be walking the streets wearing masks. Americans are not going to all be, we're going to have sports again. We're going to have crowds again. We're going to have concerts again. But when you're on that main street, and your job is to put a message out to the entire country, whether it's a sports message, news message, or otherwise, the rest of the country's going, well, wait a minute. You're not experiencing our main street. And with this sports story, there's so many positives to look at. There's so many good things going on. And a few of the stories we're going to look at today are in regards to how contradictory it is from their main streets to the main streets that are experienced right in the heart of the pandemic and how this story is being talked about. And I look forward to hearing from all of you today and catching up with you, seeing how you're doing. Our toll-free line's 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by our friends at Geico. And Geico has introduced something. It's called the Geico Give Back. That's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. That's pretty awesome. Visit geico.com/giveback for information and for eligibility. So a lot of different stories we'll get into today. We're going to take you to different main streets, contrary to the ones that the mainstream media walks on, that the NFL and the NHL and the NBA offices walk on, and how it's different, and maybe how it's different affecting your community. 855-212-4CBS. Why this man made this choice tells you a lot about that team and other teams. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Straight ahead and on the track now. I just had some upbeat TV theme songs I thought would be better rejoins today. There is nothing we won't try. Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no stopping us. If you don't know Laverne and Shirley, you missed out. Because you see, On Your Mark, Get Set and Go Now. Got a dream, and we just know now. We're going to make that dream come true. We're going to make that dream come true, folks, together here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. If you're new to the show, you haven't heard the show before, you don't listen on the radio.com app, if you don't hear it on Sirius XM 206 or your local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, I am a television theme songs bibliophile.
By the way, you missed that on the first two seasons of the first six seasons of Laverne and Shirley. The last two are a little eh.
I didn't miss out on the last. I saw every episode of Laverne and Shirley.
No, I'm saying if you have never seen Laverne and Shirley, the first
don't
six
watch
seasons,
the California years.
The last two seasons are not very good, especially of course when Cindy Williams leaves the show in season 8.
She got pregnant and married.
She left.
Then it's
the
just Laverne at that point. Now I don't understand something because. When some of my favorite television shows of all time have had pregnant women before, they've managed to keep the pregnant women on the show.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how, or write it into the damn show. I don't understand it. Do you know once?
Like Lucy.
Yes, exactly. Like write it into the show. Do you know once on one of my favorites, God Rest Its Soul, As the World Turns. Oakdale, Illinois. The city of Oakdale. Back on As the World Turns, at one point, they had three of their top leading female characters get pregnant at the same time. Like the women who played Lily, Emily, and Carly all got pregnant at the same time. And they were all due, like, right around the same time. So they had one of the all-time, like, villains of the show, James Stenbeck. They did a storyline where he had all of them kidnapped. And they were brought to this, like, spa where the doctor at the spa made them into, like ruined their beauty. Took away their beauty and made them look like old ladies. Like, it was a terrible storyline. But it was funny as hell because they had to come up with a way that they could have these three major characters still be on screen, but they were all pregnant at the same time, and they didn't want them to be pregnant.
But, so that's, by the way, I mentioned Lucy. I was watching it last week.
You were. And I love Lucy.
I love Lucy. Yes. And I just, I mean, it's amazing. I was laughing out loud, like laughing
it's
out
funny.
Loud. I mean, yes. And it just goes to show you how talented they all were. I mean, the show was in the 1950s, but.
And it's hilarious.
It's still hilarious. Yes. Like laugh out loud. Hysterical.
Well, I mean, we've taken Olivia and gotten her involved in watching a lot of older TV shows, and she loves Sanford and Son. She loves Friends. Her and her friends, Friends is their favorite TV show. Friends and The Office. And they're 16-year-old girls today, and their favorite TV show is The Office and Friends, and they love it. But so, and we're talking about shows that are now 25 years old. You know, The Office, not the same, but older shows. But she can't get over, like, Fred Sanford and the Jeffersons and All in the Family and what they got away with and the stuff. Samuel in Arlington, Texas joins us. Samuel, that's very formal. Do you go by Samuel, like, all the time, or is that just formal for me?
No, yes, sir. I go by Samuel all the time.
So you go by Samuel. It's a cool name. Very cool name.
She told me I didn't name you Sam.
Oh, see, I like that. Now, do your buddies call you Sam?
No, yeah, they do.
So they do. Okay, good. All right, what do you got for me, Samuel?
Okay, your point about Main Street and talking about
yes.
what town, you know, yeah, okay. So to your point about Main Street, I like it. And I think if you're around here in DFW, you listen to what Jerry Jones and Mark Cuban have to say.
Yes.
It is really important here. We hear what they say, and we consider them leaders in our you know, going over politics and everything.
And your community, they are leaders. They're business leaders in your community. Sure, they are.
Yeah, they actually. There's a town that's growing, or a couple of towns growing in the North Dallas area that Jerry Jones personally invested in and built. So
okay.
I mean, he is a leader. So we listen to them when they tell us what you know. So
sure.
it is regional, like you said.
Yeah, I mean there are. I just had the Samuel. I had the opportunity on our podcast I do with Shaquille O'Neal. If you want to hear the Shaq podcast, it's fun. At Podcast One, at iTunes Podcast, you can find it. We had Mark Cuban on the show like 3 weeks ago, and had a chance to interview Mark. And I put him on the spot and flat out said, "I said, are you going to run for president or not?" And he said,
he's going to do it after his kids grow up, right?
And he said, in 2020, no, because I'd never consider it. He said, because I told my wife that I'd consider running in 2020. And she said, well, by the time you announce, we won't be here when you get home. We'll be out. But he said, once his kids are old enough, you know, they're getting done high school and into college, he absolutely is considering it. And so, but it's just, it's interesting is that the experience of the pandemic in Dallas is different than Atlanta, is different than Miami, is different than Tampa, is different than North Carolina, is different than New York.
But are better here right now, but we still have the same fear. I mean,
sure. Well, the one thing is the fear doesn't do us any good. The fear doesn't do you any good in any kind of functioning. It doesn't do you any good. Do you know Dallas was 40th as of yesterday morning? Texas. Was 40th in the country yesterday as far as death per a million of population.
But we have 30 million people.
The state of Texas has done a marvelous job with this. And it's a different story there than here. Thank you, Samuel. Take care of yourself, buddy. It's funny because Samuel calls us from Dallas, and the story I wanted to hit on first was Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton's decision to become a Dallas Cowboy. First of all, this is an amazing decision by the Cowboys. And if you know, with me as an Eagles fan, the last thing I want to do is credit Dallas. But there's one thing that I do know. Dallas may not, you know, win in January when it matters, but Dallas kicks everybody's backsides in the division on draft day, on the days of the draft, every single year. It's consistent. The Cowboys draft better than the Eagles do, the Redskins do, the Giants do. They just draft better. They do a great job with it. But this part of roster building impresses me more. I think going out and getting Andy Dalton as an insurance policy, right? It's an insurance policy on Dak in that if Dak tries to pull anything, oh, I'm not going to report, I'm not going to show up, I'm not playing for that. You have a fantastic insurance policy in Andy Dalton, who I would consider to be the best. I think he's the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now, period. There's no backup quarterback that if I was going into action on a Sunday right now that I'd rather have than Andy Dalton, period. I think it's tremendous roster building. And for Andy Dalton to make this decision, I don't know if he's thinking his future long term. Are the negotiations with Dak that contentious in Dallas that Andy Dalton is thinking about being the Cowboys quarterback going forward? Or does this just mean the Cowboys want leverage right now when Dak may decide to play some games with them? Whichever it is, I applaud the move. Because if Dallas wanted an insurance policy that if Dak was to walk at the end of this year, let's say Dak walked away from Dallas, he decides to walk away, to know going into the offseason, well, we've already got Andy Dalton in-house and we can sign him to a contract and make him the quarterback and draft a young quarterback and have him play behind Andy Dalton or learn behind Andy Dalton a little bit. That's a win for Dallas. If Dallas goes into the season with Dak and Andy Dalton, that is the best quarterback combination in the NFL, period. Period. End of sentence. So for the Dallas Cowboys, this means an awful lot. It's a smart move. Now, what it means to me is, though, there are some other teams that potentially could have benefited from Andy Dalton, like the Jacksonville Jaguars, and yes, like the New England Patriots. And I'm going to tell you this, for the vast majority of our listening audience, coast to coast, I have watched a lot of SEC football over the years, being in Atlanta. And many of you don't. Right now, what the New England Patriots are doing with Jarrett Stidham, they may be the smartest organization in football. They definitely, certainly should hold that title right now. But they may be seeing something in Jarrett Stidham that I don't. Maybe it's all about next year for them. Not this year, next year. You want to share a thought with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Just think about it. Professional sports teams in quarantine. What would this look like? It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. Because we're the young generation. And we've got something to say. Hey, we're the Monkees. You never know where we'll be found. So you better get ready. We may be coming to your town. Some of the, just trying to put a little upbeat, a little smile, a little nostalgia with you this morning here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully you are having a great Sunday morning or a late Saturday night. We do not judge here. We do not judge. If you had a great Saturday night, good for you. Good for you. I'm very interested by the stories that are breaking out all over the country in regards to how different communities are coming back. The restaurants in my area, in Atlanta, Georgia, obviously still doing the takeout, but now restaurants that have decided to open up in the first phase here, setting up space where, like at the bar, if you're going to sit at the bar, if two people want to sit at the bar, then there'll be a distance. A husband and wife come in, there'll be a distance between them and the next people sitting at the bar. There are restaurants where you've got one table or one booth set up, and then they have like, those cheap tablecloths you'd find at like a Party City or something. Put over tables to keep people from sitting at those tables. So they've set it up with the proper social distancing and everything. Yesterday, I think all of Atlanta was out, very much like you've seen in other parts of the country. And everybody doing their thing, out and about in the sunshine. So wherever you're experiencing, hopefully you are finding some positivity here. Do you want some positivity? Anthony Pierna, you want a little jolt of positivity this morning?
Of course.
Can you take it? Now, this is pretty amazing now. Do you realize that the deaths from COVID dropped by over 30,000 yesterday? Do you realize that?
I did see that on the news.
Oh, you did see it on the news?
I read it.
It's funny, it's the news. Yeah, because you see this. The news networks are ignoring this story. They're ignoring it. The CDC, and by the way, if you're not going by the CDC, CDC.gov, if you're going to NBC.com, ABC.com, FoxNews.com, CNN.com to get your medical news and your medical figures, just understand you're getting it with a slant. If you go to the CDC, deaths from COVID-19 dropped by over 30,000 yesterday. You know why, Anthony? According to that, they were misreporting some deaths as COVID deaths. This is good news, folks. Now, this might not lead your local news this morning, because what you don't understand is that good news doesn't sell as much as bad news does. Hope doesn't sell as much as fear does. CDC.gov, and I would suggest everybody, check it out every day. You can check it out down to your community, down to your state, down to your major metropolitan area. See your numbers, see your cases, see the amount of people being tested, see the amount of positive testing, see how everything is trending. 37,308 deaths as of this morning. That is the COVID-19 death rate for the United States of America. 37,308. Yet you will still see it depicted as 60-some thousand on network news this morning as I'm flipping channels. They redid their numbers because they were counting pneumonia deaths as COVID deaths. They were counting people who died of pneumonia as dying of COVID. And I guess they just decided it was time that they went in and they really dove down on the numbers who died because of COVID. You can check it out for yourself. Go to cdc.gov. Just make sure that you are not being spoon-fed negative news, and you can just be spoon-fed the facts by your local community and check it out. And I think that you will find that maybe you'll be feeling a little less anxious. And there's a lot of people feeling pretty anxious right now about it. But check it on out for yourself. And by the way, the fact that that story is not the lead story on every single newscast should warn you what their agenda is and what they're trying to sell you and what they want you to buy. So the professional sports leagues, They're getting back into business. Well, they're trying to. And right now, you've got the NBA almost being set up, and I don't know that it's a bidding war, but it certainly seems like it, that the NBA wants to have their postseason. I believe from people I have spoken to, again, I am not an NBA insider. Listen to guys like Wojo. Listen to him before you listen to me. But from the people that I've talked to in NBA circles, and I've got some pretty good NBA contacts, I must say, they tend to believe it will be the NBA playoffs, 8 in the East, 8 in the West. That they may play some games as warm-up games before the playoff tournament would begin to sort of round out a regular season, but that would only be just to round out the regular season. Play a few games almost like as exhibitions. Every team get like three or four exhibition games under their belts and then start a playoff tournament. But what they want to do is they want to play them in a bubble. And right now the NBA reportedly has Walt Disney World and Las Vegas competing for them. Now, Anthony, I'm going to give you the two scenarios, and I don't know if you've read this from different NBA insiders, the proposals that are being put out. But I want, Anthony, I want you to sort of judge it from a young man, a young virile man standpoint, because the NBA is full of young virile men. So I want you to be the guy that makes this call here. Do you want to be in Disney World in Orlando, where you are going to be sequestered at a resort or two? They're going to pick a couple of resorts, and even if Disney World was to reopen, they're not going to reopen these resorts until after this NBA tournament would be done. They'll play at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex and have games played there at Disney. And that would be the home base. Or Las Vegas has reportedly, MGM has reportedly told the NBA, you can have the Mandalay Bay, the Delano, and the Luxor, which are all connected to a giant convention center where they could make 14 NBA courts. They could put 14 courts together. They would only need 8 for games. If they were having playoff series, they would only need 4 courts for each conference. But they would then have courts that are available for teams to, the teams could practice on those courts too, to have all the other teams, because all 16 teams would be sequestered in Las Vegas at those 3 hotels, and those 3 hotels would literally be in lockdown. Now, according to 2 different reports, NBA players would then also be able to have their families with them, as long as everybody got tested and checked in without COVID. So the families could be there. There would be catering. There would be food. There would be pools. There would be social interaction. And there would be games. But you would literally be locked down on those 3 properties. So, Anthony, I ask you, as a young, virile man, Vegas?
You're telling me I can't go to Disney theme parks, right?
No, you can't go to the theme. Theme parks aren't even. We don't know when the theme parks are going to be open yet.
Maybe not until 2021.
I don't believe that to be the case at all.
You don't think so?
No, not considering how Florida is opening. No.
Considering I can't go to the theme parks, because if I could, then I mean it's not even close. I'm going to Disney.
So you'd go to Disney for you, but even if you can't go to the theme parks?
I'm taking Toy Story Land over the D in Las Vegas.
Man, I'll tell you this much. Let me in. Well, you can't be at the D. You're not allowed to be at the D because you're going to be checked in. Imagine. You check it. Think of this. You could check into the complex on, like, check in at Mandalay Bay on, like, let's say it's May 21st. They check into the Mandalay Bay. And if you played in the NBA Finals, you wouldn't check out of that bubble till August. Would that freak you out? That would freak me out.
I wouldn't like it so much.
Like, imagine going in there. Now, if you were allowed to have your wife and kids with you,
it would definitely make it easier.
But imagine you can't leave. And by the way, they can't leave either. They can't leave either.
Doesn't seem very appealing.
There's a lot of space, by the way. For those of you who don't know, and every year the John Kincaid Show comes from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, where they have a radio studio there. And so I know the complex well. Those three hotels, first of all, huge. The convention center, huge. The grounds of all three of those hotels, huge. The pool areas of those hotels, top-notch. Dining options, top-notch. But, Anthony, if you told me that I couldn't leave those properties, I think I'd go crazy. I'd want to just go for a walk outside of the complexes. I'd want to be able to get to the outside, but they would be making sure. Now, I've had people wonder is how would the girlfriends be able to sneak their way in? Now, to me, that's the question. That's one of the biggest questions out there. How would the girlfriends be able to get in to be able to be a part of this? I'm not sure. So, Anthony, you're still going to Disney. You're still going to go to Disney and get locked down? Ah, you're a young, virile man. You're going to be, and you're not going to be able to go. You don't get to go to the parks.
No. Given these current circumstances, I would pick Vegas over Disney.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, you have to. You have to at that point. Now, let me ask you this. What is this done to your Bumble profile?
Well, you could still match, and you could set up, virtual dates on Zoom.
Wait a minute. A virtual date. I'm sorry, I don't understand what a virtual date is. I come from a different generation. I don't understand what a virtual date is. What is a virtual date? We're just going to get to know each other now on Zoom.
Yeah,
we're going to, what are you going to flash each other? Or are you going to what goes on virtual dating? And first of all, are you telling me that
they really have to explain it to John right now?
Are girls and guys easier on virtual dating?
What do you mean, are they easier?
Would a woman or a guy who tends to be a little more buttoned down?
Oh.
In the virtual dating scenario where it's just them and someone else on a screen, would they tend to maybe do something that they wouldn't do in a date?
Like on these apps, they have been promoting the virtual dating. They've been pushing it heavy.
Pushing it heavy is the, I mean, I'm sure heavy girls need to date too, and heavy guys need to date too. Do they have a heavy section, or do they have what? I mean, everybody after COVID-19 is a little heavier.
There's a dating app for everybody.
Is there? So has your dating app, have you been doing virtual dating?
No, I have not.
You have not been on your Bumble or not?
I have been on. I've been swiping, just for fun.
Have you been setting up future dates?
I have not set up any future dates.
What are you possibly waiting for? Do you just want to get older?
I don't even know if it's something that's really of interest to me right now. I have so many other things I'm currently working on. I don't know
if
I
want.
I do.
You got so many other things you're currently.
I really do. I have a lot going on.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to be bogged down in a relationship.
Who wants to be bogged down in some hot sex, right? I mean, who would want to have that as a distraction?
Why can't you have hot? You could have hot sex and not be in a relationship.
I understand, but I mean, you don't want, but guess what? There's women on those dating apps that aren't looking for the relationship, right? Or am I misjudging this?
Yeah, you could go on.
Not every girl's on there to find the Hallmark movie guy.
That's the Tinder app.
Tinder
is good
and
for.
By the way, just so you know, the guy down the hall, he's still hooking up in the midst of the pandemic. He's on social media with his friends saying, properly distance, everyone do your part. And then he's got the hot blonde coming to his apartment at night. And he's behind the scenes. He's not socially distancing. Just so you know, that guy's still out there in the mix. I want you in the mix, Anthony. Get in the mix. All right, coming up, Joe Burrow is just a little smarter than you. Plus, I love this idea. If you're afraid, they don't have to be. Second hour of the John Kincaid Show next on CBS Sports Radio.